The lesson this morning is going to be, why should you worship? Why should you worship? And I did not ask Jim to lead the song that he did this morning, but that is a perfect song to lead into this. Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our soul's adoration, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lift up the voice in praise and devotion. Saints of all earth before him should bow. Angels in heaven, worship him, saying, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before thee with singing, filled with thy spirit, wisdom, and power. May we ascribe thee glory and honor. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. What does it mean to worship? Well, it means to honor, to give reverence, homage, in thought, feeling, or act. The principal word in the Old Testament had the idea of to press, to bow down, or to prostrate, as in Exodus 4:31. The main word in the New Testament means to kiss the hand or the ground toward. So it's like the oriental fashion of bowing down prostrate upon the ground. There is no more beautiful picture than true worship. So worship is to do homage, to do reverence. Involved in it is a feeling of awe. Religion involves a personal relation between an individual and God, wherein we do God's commandments. And we do God's commandments in order to establish a proper relation with him. So if we do not do God's commandments, if we do not do what he commands us with all our heart, we cannot have that proper relationship with our Creator. So I have a question. Do you feel in awe when you come to worship him? Do you truly feel in awe? We have to ask ourselves, what kind of relationship do we have in him? In the society that we live in, which is very materialistic, religion and worship is often neglected. And even if you attend a place on Sunday morning and you go back in Sunday evening, we see in so many places the numbers are drastically less than in the morning, because they do not truly want to worship God and have that relationship with him. One of the objections offered for not attending services is people will say, well, I didn't get anything out of that service. You know, they may blame the preacher, they may blame the song leader, they may blame anything that they want to come up with. But it's not what you get. Worship is what you give. Worship is something that you do, not something that you get. We don't come here Sunday morning, Sunday evening to get something. We come here to worship God. We come here to give our reverence and respect to God. And if we want to have that fruit of true worship, we have to give before we can get. We have to give before we get that fruit. And there are so many excuses that people give for not coming to worship services. I listed some of them in the bulletin. People will say they have a headache. They had company come and they couldn't go. They had to go shopping. And the one that I have in here is I actually heard this. Someone told me, I asked them why weren't they at services, and they said they had painted the door and they couldn't close it because they had to let it dry. And they were serious, and I thought that was sad, because that just showed how low of an opinion they had of worshiping God. But for our time this morning, we do not want to spend it looking at why people do not do what they ought to do, but rather spend our time understanding why you should worship God, why you ought to. You know, worship is so important in the Bible. We read about it in the beginning with the worship of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. The first thing that Noah did when he left the ark was to build an altar and offer worship unto God. What did the wise men do in the New Testament? They came to worship Jesus. So why should you worship God? Well, the first reason is because God is worthy of all worship. As we sang a little bit ago, God is worthy. But let's turn to Revelation chapter 5 and read Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." Friends, God is worthy. Why should you worship God? Because God is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy of worship because of what he has done for us. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 95:6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." God is worthy, and when we worship him, that goes back to showing that relationship we have with him. He is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Why should you worship God? The second reason is because God wants you to. He teaches you to. He commands you to. Matthew 4:10, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" We are instructed, we are commanded. And who do we worship? The Lord your God. Nobody else is worthy of being worshiped or accepting worship. The early disciples understood this, that they were to worship Christ, and they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread and prayers and teaching. The letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the first letter, contains all the elements, all the examples of worship that they were to do. God taught us, he instructed us, he tells us to worship him. And as we've been studying in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10, as our Maker, again, God deserves all of our praise and adoration. That is why, one of the reasons, with all the examples we have, with all the teaching on it, that we are instructed in Hebrews 10:25 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together so that we come to worship. A third reason why you should worship God is to express the feelings of your souls to Him. You know, many of the Psalms show the disposition of a devout person, someone with a contrite heart, as they offer up their feelings unto God. And we would profit to study the Psalms. I think that is something that we cannot study too much, because it is example after example of praise being offered up unto God. And it expresses the feeling of the individual. Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you feel glad when someone says that? Come, let's go and worship. Let's go. Oh, I feel so glad. Let's go do that. What makes us feel glad? Psalm 25:6 through 8. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. We should feel so good that God shows us and demonstrates his tender mercies to us, that he forgets the sins of our youth. When we repent of them, aren't you glad that he doesn't remember everything and bring it up? We should feel so happy because our sins separated us from God. They condemned us to hell. God has redeemed us. He has reconciled us. We should express that feeling of joy to our Heavenly Father. Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. You think about, you know, immigration is such a big topic. It's been in the news for years, more so recently. But there are so many people that want to come to the United States of America. Whether we get into talking about whether they come legally or illegally, they want to come here. They want to enjoy what this land has to offer. What if we wanted to go to another place and could not get there? We could not get in. And the place I'm talking about is heaven. What if we could not get in heaven? God said, nope, you don't get to come here. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his land. God is inviting us to come. He's that shepherd. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. God doesn't say, you can't come here. God is inviting us to come. God is inviting us to come. And that should make our souls feel so good that we ought to praise him for time without end. Well, why should you worship God? To commune with God. To commune with God. How do we do that? We talk about, it's not a word we use too often unless we use it in a religious sense. It used to be used more often when you talk about communing. We have the word communication. It's an interaction. It's a relationship. Well, how do we commune with God? The very nature of worship demands an expression and acts that involve a personal relationship with God. And what does John 4:24 says? God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's how we commune with God. We commune with our spirit, with our heart, with our soul. We commune with him through the truth. There are a lot of people going to a service this morning that aren't going to hear a word of truth preached today, and they are thinking that they are worshiping God. They are not going to lift up their hearts, lift up their voices, lift up their minds unto God, and they think they are communing with God. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Maybe it's just their conscience is satisfied that they went, and they'll check that off the list till next Sunday. But we want to commune with God. We want to have that relationship with Him. He wants to have that relationship with us. God is a jealous God. He will not allow us to put anything before Him. He has sought out after us like that one sheep out of 100 that went astray, and He came out searching for us to find us. He wants that communion with us. The Spirit and truth. That is the only way that we can have that communion. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we cannot worship Him apart from truth. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, we talk about the Israelites and look at all the mistakes that they made. They wanted to be God's people, but they didn't want to come out from among the people around them. They wanted to let them coexist, to live, and you see, that was their downfall. We have to come out and be separate and worship God. 1 John 3, the first three verses, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. What manner of love? Just think how great that is, that we can be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Do you have this hope in you? I hope we all do, that we want to see Christ when He is revealed. And if we have this hope, we want to purify ourselves so that we will be pure for when He returns. You know, when you stop and think about this idea of communion, it's just one of the most natural things that you see, like in a family relationship. A father and a son. We visited our one son Thursday night. They've got a 9-month-old baby boy. We saw him again yesterday, and just seeing my son holding his son, you know, that is sweet communion in physical sense. And that little baby trusts his daddy. You try to take him, he doesn't want to leave his arms. We all can see that. And what's the lesson? That's God in us. He wants to hold us. He wants us to have that communion with Him. Somebody wants to take us from His arms, what do we say? Okay, I'll go with you. We better not. We better not, but that's what so many people do. The sweet communion with God is why we should worship Him. It's why we should take advantage of every opportunity that we have to worship God. Well, a fifth reason that you should worship God is to praise God. To praise God. Whenever Christians meet to express their praise, they are giving a sacrifice of their lips. Hebrews 13:15 talks about this. Through Him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. Why is this a sacrifice of our lips? If you have a, let me illustrate it this way. You think of a husband and a wife. What if they never, ever, ever, ever said a word to each other? They never said a word. What kind of relationship would they have? How would you know what the other one was thinking or feeling? You wouldn't. You wouldn't know. That's why God wants us to speak, because it expresses what's in our minds. It expresses what's in our hearts. We offer up sacrifices of praise through our prayers, through our songs. We worship to praise God. How does God, he does know how we feel and think, but he wants us to express that, And you think of times when you hear prayer after prayer and different men praying, and you could just listen to that all the time. Or you go to a singing somewhere, you sing for an hour. We've been to them that have been 2 hours and they take a break in between, and you could just listen to that all the time. And what does that express? It's not hearing that for entertainment. It's not hearing those songs for entertainment, but when you think of the words, it expresses again that joy that we have to God, that thankfulness, and for everything that he has done for us. And we have to be in the right frame of mind to worship. You know, we could sing a song and mouth all the words and be on the notes, and our heart could be 1,000 miles away. God's not going to accept that. We have to be in the right frame of mind. We can't carry all the cares of the world on our heart when we worship God. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 for a minute. A familiar verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And oftentimes we talk about, yeah, you shouldn't worry, you know, but pray and this and that. But how many times do we come to worship, and if you were given a test, could you write down the theme of those songs that you just sang earlier? Could you mention what was in the prayers? It's a challenge because we have so many things on our mind. And when we worship God, when we praise God, we are not to be anxious. We are to be focused on what we are doing. It's, again, to use the marriage illustration. If one person is talking to the other one, and the other one is just nodding the whole time, their mind could be 1,000 miles away and not hear a word that this person is saying. But we should offer up our praise to God, our praise to God. Well, another reason that you should worship God, you should worship God now to prepare you to worship him for time without end. Sometimes when people make comments, I just don't understand what their concept of worship is and what their concept of heaven is. But it's going to be a place of worship, a place of worship. I don't understand why some people want to limit the amount of time they spend in worshiping and working in the church. Consider this in Acts 2:47, when the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Well, what was going on daily? that people would be baptized and be added to the church. There was teaching going on daily. Oh, you mean they did it more than just once on Sunday? They sure did. They sure did. Worship was ongoing. Jesus taught daily, Matthew 26:55. It does not make sense that we should come together, and when we recognize who God is, what he has done for us, that we would worship him Sunday out of love and then forget about him the rest of the week. It just doesn't make sense. For everything that he has done, what we read back in Revelation and in the Psalms, just a few verses, everything that he has done for us, and then we get out of here in a few minutes and we forget about him. Isn't he our God? Isn't he who we are going to worship? 2 Timothy 2:11, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. I think one of the challenges we have is this word that we use, time, because we like to put things, label them according to time. From the time we get up till the time we go to bed, what's going to happen this hour, that hour? How long are we going to eat lunch? What time do we have to be back tonight? How long's the business meeting going to last tonight? Got to get home in time to watch that movie tonight. We label everything by time. But when we cross the Jordan, or when the Lord returns, time is going to be no more. Time is going to be no more. And what are we going to do? We are either going to be in torment for time without end, or we are going to be worshiping our Creator for time without end. That's a happy thought, and that's a scary thought. Are you ready to worship God, Christ, for time without end? Are we really ready? Is that what we long to do? Is that what is on our heart? Because if it isn't on our heart, there's nothing magical going to happen, either when we die or Christ comes back, that all of a sudden, oh, I want to do this. I want to sing praises. I want to bow down and worship him. This is something that we learn, and I think, speaking for myself, the older I get, the more I appreciate the time that we have to spend together, the time to spend with other Christians, whether it's in an assembly or not in assembly, just talking to them about the things of life. And yesterday we were with a group and they kept reminding us, you know, God will see you through this. God will see you through this. Whatever people have, God is the focus of, should be the focus of every Christian's mind. And this life should not be the focus of our mind, but that life which is to come. And I tell you, I can't wait to get there. What is there in this world that has any attraction? We want to have our heart in God. We want to have our heart right. We want to be worshiping him. People say, well, why should you go to worship? I've got other things to do. Well, we looked at, you should go to worship God because God is worthy of all worship. You should go and worship God because God instructs us, he teaches us, he commands us to worship him. We should worship God to express the feelings of our souls. We should worship with God to commune with him. We should worship God to praise him. And we should worship God now to prepare us for worshiping him for time without end. Friend, Do you worship God, or do you just go through the motions? Friend, why do you worship God? May all of us give our hearts in worshiping God with all our hearts and with all of our strength so that we might be acceptable by Him. If you aren't a Christian, as I said earlier, we are all going to be in one of two places when death comes. And when we consider all that God has done for us, we beg you to make your life right. If you have been baptized and you've been forgiven of those past sins, but you haven't been living right, we beg you to make your life right. Life is too short, and that the consequences are too long if you make the wrong decision in this life. If you need to be baptized and put on Christ, if you need to confess sins and repent of them and ask for the prayers of the congregation, if we can assist you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.